Welcome to the Conversations with Jesus podcast. I'm Johnny Lehman, a baptized man of God who has the amazing blessings of being a husband, father, and the pastor at Divine Savior Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. This podcast is designed to bring you the self-sacrificing love of Jesus found in the Bible through 15 to 20 minute episodes that focus on relevant life issues and what God has to say about them. Check out our website, DivineSaviorChurch.com, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages if you'd like to find out more about the incredible things that God is doing through our church family. Hey, everybody. It is so good to be back with you. These last couple weeks have been two of the most incredible weeks of my life, getting to welcome not only a new child into our family, but welcoming our son Silas into God's family through baptism. It's just been incredible. So thank you so much for your prayers. I'm so excited to be back with you on the podcast, especially for this Sunday. This Sunday, as we continue walking through the different prophecies of Isaiah regarding Jesus, we're going to talk about a subject that we really, really need to focus on this time of year, and that's the subject of peace, especially peace when we feel nothing but chaos. Now, what we're going to see in Isaiah 35 is a barren landscape bursting into vibrant blossoms. It's an amazing sight to witness, but Isaiah, he speaks of the miraculous and instantaneous power of God. To God's kingdom truly does bring joy, everlasting joy. He miraculously works it out of the chaos we see in the world and the chaos that churns inside our own hearts. Because let's be honest, we are all by nature blind, dead, lame. This is Isaiah chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of our God. A few months ago, I was driving back from a STAR class one night when I got a phone call from a mom in our church family. And the second I heard her voice, I had a hunch I was in for a classic parenting venting session. And I was proven right. For the next 5 minutes, with barely a whisper of volume, she was telling me how she was currently sitting on the couch in her living room, unable to move, even though one of her kids had just broken a plate. Another one was screaming at the top of his lungs at a video game on his iPad. Yet another was in tears because she couldn't find her favorite stuffed animal. And as she was talking, all I could visualize in my mind is one of those crazy, chaotic scenes from Cheaper by the Dozen. And all this chaos is going on. But she was stuck. And she said to me, I know I need to do something, but I feel like I can't move. It really is interesting how we human beings deal with chaos. Now, you would think that a rise in action, energy, and sound would get us moving, but such noise and sights often paralyze us. We feel this pressure to get going, especially this time of year, but the insanity just keeps swirling. Getting travel plans together, scrolling Amazon to knock out the gift list, sitting in anxiety, thinking about seeing him or her at Christmas dinner, and that's all on top of trying to maintain everything else you're juggling in your life, your budget, your kids' extracurriculars, your doctor appointments. Maybe you're feeling a rise in your heart rate the more I go on. I'm not trying to stress you out, but we have to address this, right? Like, what do we do? What should we do in this panic of paralysis? How will this panic be overtaken by peace? Well, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is going to show us the answer. And it all starts by doing something pretty scary. We start by staring dead-eye into our chaos, which is exactly why Isaiah places us in a desert. Now, as Americans, often we imagine the desert in an Arizona sort of way. You know, it's lifeless, not much to see besides a few stray tumbleweeds and a couple cacti. But that's nothing like the Middle Eastern wilderness of Isaiah's time. And this was as wild, crazy, and chaotic of an environment that anyone could have. Lions on the prowl, jackals pouncing on their prey, snakes all around, no civilization in sight, exposure to the elements. If you tried living in the wilderness, everyone would think you were clinically out of your mind. I mean, who would choose to live in madness, disorder, and unpredictability? And yet, as you and I know all too well, despite our best intentions, sometimes such desert disorder comes knocking on our door or pinging on our phones. You know how this goes, right? You plan your day just so, your agenda is set, but then those that's begin. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, then that text comes that totally changes your entire day, or that person calls you and you can't get a word in edgewise. He seems to set a Guinness World Record for most words spoken without taking a single breath. And sometimes those that's, they're far more paralyzing than that. You drive past that park where you used to walk with your husband, the chaos of grief just flooding your mind. You look at that picture when your family was once all together and all smiles, and you just are trying so hard to recreate that moment, but you don't know how. You feel the feebleness, the unsteadiness, the paralysis that fear conjures up within us. Now, in all of that, what is at the deepest level of our that's? Why do we fear chaos? Why do we freeze up in craziness? It's the realization of how little control we have. It's not something we like to think about. We don't like to think about how powerless we are because it makes us feel weak. It makes us feel out of control. I mean, think about it, though. We had no choice in who our parents would be. We had no choice in the disabilities and the shortcomings that we may have. We had no choice in the family we were placed in, no choice in how our bodies were put together. We fear chaos. We fear unpredictability because we fear the reality of our sinful nature. What is that reality? Who are we by nature? Well, by nature, we have blindness in how to live our lives. We're deaf to what's truly going on around us. We're disabled in how we can move forward. And yet, maybe you know this, such a reality is rejected by our modern Western culture. Now, we live in a world, literally, we live in the world of chaos theory. And the idea of chaos theory is that the most predictable part of life is how unpredictable it is. And chaos theory, it flows from the evolutionary worldview that says your entire existence happened only through sheer chance and selection. And your ultimate destiny? Everyone's ends the same. It's merely ceasing to exist, with a legacy that will only last until finally our very world will go away. Is this not the ultimate narrative of our greatest fear? To be forgotten, to be abandoned, to be lost in the craziness, to fade away into lifelessness. And such a fear was in the heart of God's people in Isaiah's time too. The divisions in their country, the fracturing of family over religion, the loss of autonomy, they felt like they were in a chaotic and lifeless desert, unable to change their fate. And the desert of despair that Satan desires for us is the same as it was then. To see life as not worth living, to see life as one we're just alone in our fear and there's no way to get through it. And such moments are in every single one of our life stories. It's on our own by nature. We were not only spiritually scared stiff, we were spiritually scared stuck in sin and chaos and the destruction that follows it. But then something happened. A song was heard above the noise, a sound unlike the noises we hear that blow up our schedules and leave us in anxiety. It was a song that brought life and peace. I mean, listen to how Isaiah describes it. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Now, if you're like me, and I apologize if you are, but my first question when reading this, how does a desert sing? But doesn't such an image capture your imagination, this desolate place of dissonance coming into full harmony? The crazy giving way to the calm? But Isaiah's just getting warmed up. He's not done describing the scene. He moves the lens from seeing nature go from disorder to order again to the people once lost in its desert. Listen to this. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Now, how can all this be? Well, it comes down to one fear-releasing phrase poetically placed at the center of this beautiful song of Isaiah. When he writes, "Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you." Do you hear the scripture song? The compassionate voice of your God who sees you in your weakness, who sits with you in your paralysis of fear and says to you, "Be strong, do not fear." And why can God say that? Is he saying you can find it within yourself to overcome your fear and your chaos and your anxiety? No. Why can we be strong? Why should we not be afraid? Because God is saying, "I'm coming to make things right." It's like God looks at us in the Bible and he questions us, "How will I do that?" Well, let me tell you, I'm going to make a highway called the Way of Holiness. I'm going to come down into your own personal desert of chaos, and I'm going to take you back, redeem you, ransom you from the forces of evil who seek nothing but chaos and destruction for you. So I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to set you in a place where nothing can threaten you and no one can defame you. And the Lord doesn't even stop there. He goes even further. Our God says to you and me, "My kingdom that's going to come down to you, that will be within you, will lead you to a paradise where gladness and joy will overtake you and sorrow and sighing will flee away." Can such a fantasy land be true? How can such a reality truly exist? It exists through the one whose name means the Lord saves. Jesus, the Savior who rightfully describes himself as the way. Your Jesus who came on that first Christmas to bring order to your disorder, to bring healing to your sighing, peace to your chaos. Your Jesus who sang you into being, who put you together cell by cell, who redeemed you, mind, soul, and body from the clutches of the artist of chaos, Satan. He is the God who came down not to merely give you a how-to reach heaven, but instead to bring heaven to you. He brought his kingdom into your very heart, the core of your being, by singing to you the song of the gospel, the always true story of the God who entered our madness only to open our eyes to the most beautiful reality reserved for those so honored to be called redeemed, an identity given to us by the grace seen at the crux of both chaos and peace, where our God came down not only to be nailed to a cross, but he was nailed to that cross so you and I would no longer be nailed to our fear, but freed by his grace to walk his way of joy and gladness. This right here is Christianity unfiltered, or as Professor Mark Paulshin put it, this is true religion. He would have us see every law that ever condemned us nailed to that cross, see it and be free, see it all buried with him in his grave, while the cry echoes off every mountain and hill. He gets the last word. It is finished. Your chaos is finished. Your fear is finished. It's that powerful crescendo of the gospel, the cross, the empty tomb. It leads us to sing a new song, even in the deafening disorder we live in every single day. We join with the ransomed of the Lord as we continue our return home, when the kingdom will not only come to us in our hearts, but in the fullness of our life experience. But we must answer the question. And maybe you're wondering this right now. Well, so what? No, I get that. It's so incredible that God brought Jesus, gives me this joy and this gladness. But how can such joy and gladness overtake the anxiety I know I'll be facing this afternoon? I know I'll be facing tomorrow. I know I'll be facing this week. I mean, how can it really be true that God's kingdom can make my sorrow and sighing run away? If you're feeling that way, if those are the questions you're asking, there's really only one thing that you can do. Sing. Before you sing, look at your own personal desert of disorder and first hear your Savior sing. Hear the song of Jesus. Read the lyrics he's written for you in the Bible, just for you. If it means setting aside that event, going back to those that's, if that event's getting in the way of having those peace-filled moments with Jesus, if that extracurricular with your kids is taking up the time you could have gathered around God's beautiful word, if that app or that phone or that accomplishment is getting in the way of you receiving the peace Jesus can give you, it's worth silencing, if only to hear him. When you feel the paralysis of fear, sing to the very core of your being, your soul, that your Lord has come down to save. He's rescued you. When you feel stress surging up your spine, hear the voice of your God who promises to make things right again. See past the modern mirage put before us every day, the lie that all you have to live for is the sigh of today and nothing more. Instead, take your children, take your grandchildren into your arms and sing to them about their Jesus who is mighty to save. Yes, even if you can't sing to save your life. Let your gladness and joy of knowing where your true home is, the nation of your true citizenship, the kingdom that will come, let that overtake the crazy. Because you know the God who quenches your thirst, the God who can make water rush in a dry desert. It's your God who will satisfy you, who alone gives you peace. It's such a wonder. It takes me back to my 7-year-old self. I can picture myself sitting in my dad's home office as he read to us the Chronicles of Narnia. And specifically, it makes me think of one of the final parts of the final book in the series, The Last Battle, when the character Emeth shouts almost in song, "I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. Come further up, come further in." In other words, Lord, your kingdom come, because the destination before us is beyond words. It's the peace that Jesus gives you, that you know where you're going. You know how this is all going to end, you and Jesus forever. And this is your cause for rejoicing, even in the crazy. This is the peace that Jesus is. He's your Jesus, who's not only the way, he is your peace, he is your joy, who overwhelms even your most overwhelming fear. Amen. Again, it's just a joy to be back with you in the podcast. My prayers are with you as we navigate this Christmas season, taking the time more than anything else to sit and reflect and meditate on that incredible peace that came to us on that first Christmas night, that peace that we can only have in Jesus that makes us whole. God's richest blessings as you live for him.